Well, our drummer, I see, is a man that can chuckle. I just was watching Ian up there, and he loves the drums. You know that. So that when he heard that, you know, that fisherman version of Psalm 150, you know, well, he's chuckling again. There we go. Praise God with the big bass drum, and if you want to be a fisherman, you can praise him with the bass drum too, right? Yeah, I tell you, both work, because this whole psalm that we're looking at today, okay, it's the most purely praise-oriented psalm that we have. It's there. Everything here is in the imperative. There's a command, you know, whether it's every living creature, be it a caribou, a moose, a bass, or a drum. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And it really is huge for us this morning to see that this very simple command, simple as it seems, to praise the Lord, does not begin really here on earth. It's not a sort of like an earth to heaven kind of movement or musical arrangement. It starts in heaven. This little lad looking up, it starts with God on high, and it moves from heaven to earth. You know, in the first and second verse, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His holy house, praise Him in His mighty heaven. Psalm 102 speaks about God being enthroned forever, and then says this in verse 19, the Lord looked down from His sanctuary on high. From heaven, He viewed the earth. Now, what's happening when it says that? Well, what's happening right now in God's sanctuary, and we sang this already in worship here this morning, it's praise already in God's sanctuary. Not this sanctuary, but God's sanctuary in heaven. Praise is being sounded. Revelation 5, 12 and 13, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. You see, worship begins with God. Worship is really far, far bigger, so much more expansive than my personal preferences about worship. You see, in worship, the focus is not on me. It's not on us. It's not what I think or I like, not what I decide in my heart is the best way to worship God, but it's always on God. Worship begins with God. And I want to just take this a little bit further, and I believe that this is in a direction that is entirely biblical. When we gather on Sunday to praise God in this sanctuary, we're already coming into a space. When you came in this morning here, you were just coming into a space where there was already worship going on. Worship is already in progress. It doesn't start when Matt begins to strum on the guitar, or Ian hits the drums, or you know, Sean on the bass guitar there, or the singers. No, worship doesn't start when the praise team begins. Worship is already happening in God's sanctuary. When we begin to sing our songs, what's meant to happen is that our praise here in this sanctuary is meant to resonate with the praise that's already in progress, already happening in God's sanctuary, already going on. You know, down in Prince Edward Island, you know, the third week of August, they have the Gold Cup and Saucer race, and the day before on the Friday they have the parade, and over the years they've had this band. They call themselves the Clash, right? And they show up, and they show up in colors that, oh boy, they do not fit, right? I mean, they clash. Now, it's perhaps something beautiful and gorgeous to watch and see, but it's not like that, is it? When you have, well, let me ask the drummer this, when you have instruments that clash. Well, maybe if they're cymbals, yes, but you know, if the music's not in sync, if it's not flowing, if it's not, I mean, it's something that can be proved to be downright distressing and unsettling, hardly uplifting at all. But true worship here is worship where heaven draws near. We draw near to the heavenly chorus. True worship aligns itself with the music of heaven. True worship, as it were, forms a bond. If you think of this sanctuary and God's sanctuary, it forms a bond. It's the meeting place. That's true worship. When the worship happening in God's sanctuary draws near to the worship that's happening in this sanctuary, heaven and earth come together in worship. Now, incredibly, God's command to us in this coming together is to find as many ways as possible, as many instruments as possible to praise the Lord. We're to worship God by every means possible. I mean, shout out the names of some instruments. Go ahead. I'm not going to depend on them. Just shout them out. Name an instrument.
Clarinet.
Use it to the glory of God. Use it to the glory. I love the flute. My son is marrying a flautist in about 2 months. Use it to the glory of God.
Bagpipes.
Use even the bagpipes to the glory of God. Yes. Come on. I want an amen to that one. Name another instrument. Come on. Keep it coming. You see them up there.
Piano.
Use it to the glory of God. You see, we're to use all of it to the glory of God. Now, here's where it gets really downright messy and difficult and hard. Because admit it. Will you admit it, please? That there are some instruments that you love and some instruments you don't love. Right? There are some musical arrangements that you're really passionate about and other musical arrangements that you could care less about. Am I off the mark? I think I'm on the mark there. I think I am. I don't think I've put it too strongly there. When it comes to the sounds, when it comes to the music of worship, we hold our opinions very strongly, don't we? Well, nod like you're even awake, all right? Okay. Have you ever heard someone say, because I have, and I'm sure you have too, I just can't worship God to that kind of music? Have you ever said that? Have you ever heard someone say that? There's no way that I can worship God to that kind of music. Way too loud. That big bass drum. Way too loud. Well, you know, the truth is, they probably can't. They really can't. I mean, David wrote Psalm 150. So picture to yourself the psalmist David being present in this sanctuary here this morning, and I don't have a very difficult time imagining to myself hearing him say, I just can't seem to worship to the musical arrangements that are up here at the front. I mean, because, you know, even with all that he said in Psalm 150, he still lived within a date and a time and a place, a location, where they learned to listen to and worship with certain. Now, picture your own self going back to David's time. I mean, time travel here, okay? You go back. I think, I know, you'd probably say, I think I'm going to go to the other service. Because you probably couldn't worship to that. Now, I'm going to go way out on a limb here, and I'm going to say this. I think that's all right. I think that's okay. I mean, can we not just admit that we learn, we're cultured in a way, we're wired in different ways from each other, we have different tastes, and that's okay. But here's where it gets really unbiblical. I mean, this is a clear, direct violation of what is for us as followers of Jesus the final authority, the Scriptures. This is it. Where I demand that everyone who doesn't agree with me and my taste and my judgment about music has got it wrong. And that's wrong. Whenever I think that for a moment, that violates everything that God says to us in Psalm 150. We are to praise God with every instrument, and we are to like and accept and value those who praise God with every other instrument that we may not like. We really are. That's why I'm glad the way of how it happens here at Knox. I really am thankful because there really is such a welcoming and embracing spirit here for the other in music that's different from the particular taste that works for me. You see, Psalm 150 is all about saying this: God bless the music that happens at 9 o'clock. Now say this with me: God bless the music that happens at 11 o'clock. Come on, say it with me. God bless the music that happens at 11 o'clock. You know, the music that happens at 11 o'clock actually today is going to have the principal cellist from the Sydney Opera in Australia. God bless the cellist at 11 o'clock this morning. Yes, God bless the choir. God bless the praise team. God bless the piano. God bless the organ. God bless the guitar. God bless the big bass drum over there. And the drummer too, right? And Lord, almost forgot this. Whenever you decide to start that third wave of music or worship, that service that we can't even imagine what the music is going to sound like at, whatever it is, we're going to be eager to say yes to whatever it is, even if we don't have a clue what it's about, because we praise God, we praise the name of the Lord by every means possible. Well, this morning I've asked some of our friends to just give us something glorious on the instruments. So let's listen. Well, now that's, you see, that's, well, hey, you just heard them clap offering God and you, so do it again. Oh, yeah, right, go for it. You know, forget it. I just decided, Matt, that I have something more to say, right? Not that it's more important than what you'll be doing in just a moment with the singers, right? They are, really. Well, you know what? Just to finish this off from Psalm 150, come to that last verse, verse 6. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we gather for worship, it's not just about the instrumentalists. It's not just about the instrumentalists and the singers. It's really about all of us, and all of us are to be involved, every single one of us. Literally, what that verse says in the Hebrew is this: all the breathing. It's the privilege of everyone in this sanctuary who is breathing this morning to praise the Lord. Turn to someone and just say to them, I'm breathing. I mean, try it. Just turn and say, I'm breathing. I'm breathing. Okay? Someone turn around and tell Patrick back there that he's breathing too. Okay? Because what that means is that every single one of you is to be a rich part of the music and the sound and the songs of worship that we offer God. And here's the really very exciting part. When you leave here this morning, because I sure hope you don't stop breathing, right? I hope that's not the story of your life, right? When you leave here this morning and you're breathing, guess what? Psalm 150, verse 6 still applies to you. This afternoon, let everyone who's breathing, you get this now, this afternoon, tomorrow morning, every one of you who's breathing, praise the Lord. When the music stops, your worship is to continue. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this: and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Worship is our lifestyle. And as long as you're breathing, I want to tell you something. Life has gotten very challenging and difficult for Doug Brown. It's been like that for a while, but he's always been able to come. We don't know if he's going to be able to continue. That man is breathing, and I want to tell you, he's praising God. I go over there to visit him. He has got the most well-turned Bible in this church, because he just all day is just turning the pages in his Bible, reading it, standing there by his walker. I mean, I have to do it in this wheelchair now, reading his Bible. He's breathing, and he's praising God. It's his lifestyle. It's not always going to be with the instruments. It's not always going to be with a song, but it will always be, worship will always be with our lives. So help me out here, because I think this is the end of the message. And all the breathing said,
amen.
All right.
Please stand with us.